You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
Let's continue this morning with our identity statement. Y'all join me as we remind ourselves of who Jesus is and how his work transforms us from the inside out, heals, restores, blesses, and brings us into a new place in our lives. I am not what's been done to me, but what Jesus has done for me. I am not what I do, but what Jesus has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Jesus, and as his follower, he determines what I do. Happy New Year's. Everybody have a good New Year's Eve celebration. How many of you got to sleep in this morning a little bit? Kids were gone. Kids were out. It was wonderful. Really, really appreciate that. So let me give you some statistics. About 48% of Americans participate in what we would call New Year's resolutions. Do you all ever do New Year's resolutions? Kind of that opportunity to step back and think about the past and then evaluate the present and look to the future and what's to come. It's important to evaluate, to have those moments where we stop and we say, okay, this is working for me today. It was working for me back then. But maybe there needs to be a change. Maybe there's something new that I need to enter into. And then there's those moments, obviously, where we're like, okay, this just doesn't work anymore. And I really, really need to change something. What propels us or moves us into that space of intentional, thought out change oftentimes is the painful moments in our lives when we hit that wall or there's something that's sticking into us. The Apostle Paul said that there were three times that he cried out, God, remove this thorn in my side. It was an idea of this hook that was in his side and just kept pulling and pulling and pulling. Very painful situation, and that caused him to cry out and to seek change in his life. And God's response in that moment was, my grace is sufficient for you. So there's those moments where we recognize I need to change, and then we're able to make some significant changes in our lives, whatever the realm, whatever the area is, who we are as a whole person. But then there's those times where we seek to make the change and we kind of struggle through it. About 8% of those who make a New Year's resolution actually feel like they've been able to follow through and fulfilled what they had purposed, 8%. Now, I don't want that to discourage us here this morning in making positive steps to continue to grow in our relationship with God, relationship with our families, our spouses, our children, and our relationship with our coworkers, workplace, neighbors, extended family. But it's important that we step back and we remember that there are those moments when God brings a significant change into our lives, and then there's times where his grace is sufficient for us. Do y'all kind of see the two sides of a coin? In my life, there are those moments where I'm like, I got to change now. I'm done. I'm tired. I'm ready to move on. And then there's those times that I'm able to see that actually begin to happen. That change is alive and well. One foot in front of another, and I'm taking those steps in that direction. And then there's those moments where just like it doesn't change, it doesn't change, it doesn't change. And I can either be open to God's grace, which is sufficient for me in those moments, or I can get frustrated with God's grace. My head is still above water, I'm still able to breathe, but yet I really don't want to be in water right now. You ever have those moments? Yeah. A number of years ago, I had somebody tell me, Ryan, if you have a challenge in your life and you feel like you're face down in the mud and you just are given up and you don't want to get up again because you keep getting knocked down, at least blow bubbles in the mud. At least blow bubbles in the mud. I have some mud blowing bubble times in my life. For the children of Israel in the Psalms, Psalm 81, verse 10, we read this beautiful passage, and I want you all to join me with this today. This is an opportunity for us to look at New Year's and the changes in our lives that we want to see take place, but also the trust in God, that God is leading us and directing us in our lives. Let's say this together. Psalm 81, verse 10. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word and just the opportunity for us to sit here and be together on this New Year's Day, 2017. Thank you for each of my brothers and sisters, and we do welcome your grace in our lives, bringing what we need in those moments of trying, of stretching, of pressure. But we also thank you that there are those moments that we could call deliverance from Egypt moments, where we pack up and we go and we move. We just trust you to be with us here during these moments and to speak to us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want y'all to do two things. I'm going to give y'all some paper here this morning, and I want you to write down, a couple things, maybe two or three things that you are saying goodbye to from 2016. Two things that you are saying goodbye to 2016. What are you saying goodbye to? These are private. This is just between you and the paper. Two things that you are saying goodbye to. And then after you've got a couple things listed there, hello to, what are you going to say hello to 2017? Our scripture this morning, Psalm 81, verse 10, is speaking of a moment when Israel went from one place to another geographically. But it was also a shift in their lives as a whole person. They went from being slaves in the Egyptian culture to being free. They went from not having a responsibility in certain areas and being told what to do and how to think and where to go, to all of a sudden their lives were opened up in some new places and some new ways. If you will, they had to trust God and God's leading in their life in a new way that they had never trusted before. Here in Psalm 81, verse 10, God is reminding the children of Israel that they had been one place and now they were coming to a new place. He had led them out of the land of Egypt. And there was a cause and effect in that sequence. The cause and effect was, follow me, trust me, move in this new direction that I have for you, and do what? Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. There is this idea of trusting God in this journey that the people were going to be taking, and at the end, they were to fully open up and receive what God had for them, and God was not going to disappoint them in that obedience, in that hope, in that trust, in that faith that they had lived out with God. Now, the children of Israel, they had a special time where they would commemorate the leaving, the departure, the Exodus. And that was the first of the year in their calendar. And that was called Rosh Hashanah. It was the Jewish New Year. Now, the Jewish New Year is on a lunar calendar, and it doesn't start on the calendar date in January for us. It actually starts in the fall. That is when they celebrate the New Year. And this time of New Year, the first day of the year for the children of Israel was a time for the next 10 days after the new year for them to do some reflection, for them to look back at the past and to be reminded of what God had done for them. It was a time to remember the Passover, when God was preparing the children of Israel and preparing everything in Egypt for their move from this, we're here now, but we're going somewhere else. Have you ever tried to change the way you think, the way you relate to God, the way you relate to people? Change a job, maybe a career, a field. In those moments of change in our lives, we find ourselves in a place where we really only have one enemy. You ever thought about what is our enemy? What is that one enemy that keeps us from entering into this, I'm going to follow the direction I have. I'm going to participate in this journey of taking the next steps into this new space, this new place that God is calling and leading me to. What is our greatest enemy? Well, science tells us that there is a problem in our lives when we try to have this movement of growth and there is fear that is there that's filling us, is permeating everything we do. Because what's fascinating is in our minds, we cannot hold in our minds a state of fear, being afraid of where we are, what's around us, where we're going to, and grow at the same time. If you will, it's what kills or stifles our growth, our moving forward. Those moments in my life when I can look back and say, I missed an opportunity to move forward and to grow, are the times not when I was having a good old time, having a blast, but were the times that I was fearful. And however fear played out in my life, whether it was fight, I felt like I had to fight the situation or fight the people or fight myself, or I had to run, flight, or freeze in that moment. Whatever that fear was doing in me and causing me to respond in a particular way, what it was doing was keeping me from being able to grow in the direction God had for me. There were those moments for the children of Israel where they took a couple steps forward, and then what happened? They stopped, and they slid back a little bit. Remember that moment where Moses has gone up into the mountain, Mount Sinai, to receive the Ten Commandments. And he comes down after receiving the Ten Commandments from God. And this is like foundational stuff. This is like, how are we going to organize as a community, as a culture? How are we going to live in relationship to God and in relationship to the people around us? Moses comes down with the Ten Commandments, this foundational document. And what does he hear? He hears a sound of worship. This party, this crazy loud noise going on as he comes down from the mountain. Exodus chapter 20, 21. What does he find? A golden calf, and they're worshiping the calf. Israel had taken some steps forward, and they trusted that the I Am was with them, and that the I Am was going to lead them to where they needed to go. But then there was a little bit of fear and doubt. Well, we don't know what the I Am looks like. So we need to have a God. So make us a God that we can worship. Give us this picture. Give us this image that we can worship. And so out of fear, what did they do? Were they continuing to grow and to expand and to embrace what God had to reveal to them next in their journey? No, what they did was they collapsed back into a perspective of Egypt, where they had gods of gold and silver and wood and the gods of nature. They stepped back into this place where they were not able to receive and to move forward. We have those moments too in our lives. What's beautiful about this celebration of the new year is that it was in preparation for the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement, the children of Israel would have all these great sacrifices. And a part of that preparation, a part of that moving into this place of, we really want to obey you, God. And there was some pageantry with it, a lot of pageantry. There was a lot of symbolism that took place when the children of Israel were reenacting what had taken place in the past. What they were doing is they were reminding themselves who they were and who God was and how God responded to them even in bad times and hard times when they said no to God, when they rejected who God was and what God was doing. We read in Numbers chapter 29 that on the first day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a day for you to blow the trumpets, and you shall offer a burnt offering for a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Here, children of Israel are reminded that this first day of the seventh month is going to be a special time. And they would call it the time for blowing of trumpets. Trumpets, have you ever heard a Jewish trumpet sound? They call it a shofar. Shofar here is a picture of someone blowing a shofar. I want to give you just a little bit of background and the symbolism of what a shofar meant, this blowing of trumpets, this celebration.
Shofar blowing, emitting from heaven, had a tremendous, mighty power. Power of transformation, change, correction. In that voice there was hidden a great power of prophecy. The prophetic shout of the shofar runs through time, stretching far into the future, prompting the man to speak the word of God, and inspiring him to be creative.
The preeminent medieval Jewish philosopher and rabbi, Moshe ben Maimon, also known as Rambam, understood the main message of the shofar to be thus: awaken, you who are sleeping, remember your Creator, and turn to Him. The sounds of the shofar produce veneration and touch the inner strings of our souls. They're a call to break our hearts, to humble our hearts. They're like a howl and a sigh, like a weep and a shout. The shofar produces a simple sound, a simple cry. This is why it has the ability to open our hearts. There are no words that can express the feelings of a baby crying at night and calling for his mother. As one prominent rabbi said, the shofar produces that very baby's cry. The tradition includes three types of blowing: tkia, trua, shvarim. The first one, tkia, means in Hebrew to pierce, to penetrate, or to cut through without barriers. This is a long, single sound beginning with the lower note and coming to the high note and growing in resonance. The second, shvarim, the root of this word means to break or to ruin. Shvarim is a fast sequence, alternation, of low and high notes. The third type of blowing is truah. It is a number of very short sounds. Trua is a strong sound. This Hebrew word means to blow a horn or a trumpet, or to raise one's voice, to shout. The final sound of this celebration is called Tekiya Gedola, a great blowing. It is a long, final note. It lasts as long as the breath of the trumpeter lasts. The sound of the shofar is a shout of joy. It is a symbol of hope for deliverance. It brings the message of God's forgiveness. This shout reminds us about the day of the great shofar sound that we read of in the book of Isaiah. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall start his threshing from the flowing stream of the Euphrates to the brook of Egypt, and you shall be gathered up one by one, O children of Israel. It shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and those who were perishing in the land of Assyria and the outcasts in the land of Egypt will come and shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem.
shofar, great symbolism. On that first day, that celebration of the new year, there would be this loud blowing. It would go on and on and on. And it was this confident declaration through sound that we are coming before God. We're coming before God and we are claiming God's forgiveness in our lives. We're claiming God's forgiveness. And another way we could say it is we're coming to God and I'm not trying to hide who I'm not anymore, and I'm not trying to hide who I am. Another way we could put it is looking back at the Adam and Eve account in Genesis. The fig leaves came off. They received the garments made from animal skins that God prepared for them. They allowed God to cover. And there's this boldness inside of us that can rise up when we recognize that I can't cover myself. I can't make what has happened in the past go away, and I can't always have the effects that I want to have on to see change in the future in my life. But you know what? I can wait for God, and I am not going to stop until God responds. That bold, that long, that drawn out trumpet sound. Trumpets are important. And then a series of shorter trumpet blasts. This idea of my frailty. I can't do it. I recognize that God is great, but then there are those moments that I come in contact up close and very personal that I am unable to see it through. And so my cry, the cry of my heart, goes from this, God, you're going to do something great, to I can't do something great on my own. I trust that you're going to bring this about. And then that final blast, that long blast at the very end, that last blowing of the shofar, until the air of the trumpeter, to the air in the lungs, the very breath ended. That sound would go and would go and would go. You ever been around someone who played the trumpet? Or another wind instrument? That they're really good at being able to fill their lungs with oxygen, to be able to blow and to blow and to have that steady breath. My brother Kevin is a trumpeter, and he would do a trumpet or bugle for flag ceremonies as kids growing up in the Boy Scouts. And it was amazing for me to listen to him and to watch him, because he was able to do things with his breath that it only came because he was very disciplined and he took time to do it. But he came to a place where it stopped. He couldn't blow anymore. Why? Because all of the air in his lungs had gone out and it was time to receive again. And each of us, we have those moments in our lives where the air just goes and it goes and it goes and it goes, and then we receive. We receive. This moment in the children of Israel was a moment for them to pause and to reflect that God had led us out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, of bondage, and it was for a purpose. It was for a purpose so we could open up and receive what God has for us that we couldn't receive in that land that we once were in before. The symbol of the trumpet being blown was a symbol of piercing through everything from the past so that they could receive what God had for them in the present and in the future. It's not always easy for us to stop and to say goodbye to the past. Y'all have that list. Did you write something down about a family, a friend, work? Maybe it's a personal habit, something in our lives that we look at and we say, I'm ready to say goodbye to this. And then we have those times where we're saying goodbye to something that we love or loved, something that was precious to us, something that was meaningful to us, something that was a part of our lives. And the process of saying goodbye is a process of grieving. Saying goodbye. Let's read this together one more time. Psalm 81, verse 11. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. I want to connect to the action of trusting God, where God is leading us, with opening our mouths wide. Have you ever been around a small child that was learning to eat, like a one-year-old who was learning to eat with a spoon? Never? A few of us have been around. You ever see that mom or that dad coaxing them to open up their mouth? That child's not going to open that mouth until they're ready to open up that mouth, right? It has been so much fun watching each of our kids go through that stage where they say, They don't even know what's on the spoon, but they're saying no to it. Why? Because they have the power to say no in that moment. It is hilarious to watch. They normally end up with all kinds of food, whether it's, I don't know, applesauce or some kind of creamed vegetable that's been smashed and crushed, bananas, whatever, all over their face and down the front of them as well. I have this picture in my mind that there are those moments in our lives and in my life when I am looking at God and He's saying, hey, I want to fill your mouth with something really good. And my response is what my one-year-old's response is, And I say no. I say no to that. So there's a couple things we need to be reminded of this morning. Fear and growth in my mind cannot coexist together. If I am allowing fear to rule and reign in my heart and in my mind, it's going to keep me from growing. Why? Because my brain shuts down and I am not free to take those steps I need to go and take. So we deal with the fear first. Jesus has given us many steps, many hints, many encouragements, many points of light throughout the Gospels and into the epistles that remind us of how we respond in those moments of fear. Jesus' words, His presence frees us. His presence frees us. I am with you always, even to the end of the world, even to the end of the age. That presence of Jesus. Those moments of fear in my life, I stop and I step back and I say, I want to continue to grow. I want to follow the path. I want to be actively pursuing this journey that you have for me, Jesus, to live out of leaving my own exodus and entering into the promised land where I can stop and receive the filling. I can have my mouth open wide and let God feed me with what God desires to feed me with. Fear. Second of all, I need to be willing to take some steps in my life. Take some steps, some positive and some healthy steps. When something doesn't work, to step back and say, okay, Jesus, how do I need to change here in this situation or that situation? Is this a moment for your grace to be sufficient for me? Or is this a moment for me to follow those leadings in my life that you have given me? Even if it's just knowing that the great I am has come and is leading me out, and I want to see a golden calf that I can attribute to who God is, what God is all about, I need to stop and I need to step back and I need to receive the life and I need to receive the love that Jesus has for me so that I can take that next step and I can move into that direction that He has for me. Remember, Jesus' words to us are, the Son of Man didn't come to serve, but to what?
Serve.
To be served. To be served?
Oh, came not to be served, but to serve.
Y'all awake this morning? I know.
Yeah.
It's New Year's Day. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to surf. Surf. That's my surf meme for the year. Mark it down. We got it down. Jesus in His interaction with us, His daily calling, His daily whisper, His daily guidance and direction, His daily bringing grace into our lives to take those steps out of Egypt and towards the promised land, to take those deep breaths when His grace is sufficient for us. We're reminded that Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Open up your mouth wide and I will, what? Fill it. I will fill it. Are we allowing God to feed us in those areas in our life that we need to be fed? I want to encourage each of us to take that list, those two columns, things I'm saying goodbye to, things I'm looking forward to saying hello to, and to offer those up to Jesus this morning and to say, I'm willing for you to guide my next steps in the journey, and I'm willing for you to fill my mouth, fill my life with everything that needs to be filled with. Let's all stand. Let's have a few moments of prayer together. So I don't know what key we do this in, but we're gonna do deep and wide, because God's filling in our lives is deep and it's wide. It's deep and it's wide. Let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you for these moments that we've had together to just pause and to reflect on this past year, the coming year, this year that we're just barely on the threshold of. And I thank you that, Jesus, those ways that we've learned to trust you in 2016 are just small ways in which we will trust you in the coming year, and that you'll continue to grow your life in us. I thank you for the sound of the trumpet in each of our lives, and I pray that each time we hear any brass section played, any horn that is blasted, that we would be reminded that there is a piercing forth, there is a declaration that you are the God who leads out of Egypt and into the promised land, and that you fill the mouths of those who open it wide. We thank you for these moments together. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.